disagree with that, but I just know he did come at night. And Nicodemus is, I'm pretty sure, is in heaven today. That's pretty sure. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus told him, you must be born again. And when he told him, you must be born again, Nicodemus was shocked. And quite frankly, I would have been too if I was a Pharisee. And he said to Jesus, he said, must I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel and understand not what I say? And he said to Nicodemus, if I tell you of earthly things and you do not understand, how can I tell you of heavenly things and expect you to understand? Well, Jesus was someone who had to, he was God. He is God. In Isaiah 9, it says that he is God Almighty. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says that he is the everlasting Father. It also says that this babe in the manger, it names the child. He says this babe in the manger will be your counselor. He will be your comforter. He will be your. He will be the Prince of Peace. A lot of people, I guess they just don't learn how to appreciate who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ is God, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And when you get to heaven, I believe in what they call the Trinity, but not quite in the way that other people do. The Trinity was God fulfilling three different offices. He fulfilled the office of the Son, he fulfilled the office of the Father, and he fulfilled the office of the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus right now in heaven, Jesus is God, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and you're going to be disappointed if you get up. Well, you won't be. You'll be tickled to death because there's just one God, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you get there, you'll be able to rejoicing forever. And if you end up living in the holy city of Jerusalem, you'll be right there where you can listen to him all the time. And I'm going to talk about that. But Jesus took earthly things to get us to understand heavenly things. And when he gave the parable of the sower, the four different types of men, the disciples came to him afterward, and they said in Arkansas terminology, would you explain to us this parable? And he explained it to them. And he used earthly terms. He used four different types of men and the way they received the seed that came from God, just like it was planted in the ground. Now, I say all that because if you're ever going to understand what it means when you talk about the bride of Christ, you're going to have to understand that Jesus spoke in earthly terms so we could understand in heavenly terms. So what do I mean by that? I mean that it's very hard for a man to look upon himself as being female, as being a bride. It's because we're masculine. Oh, man, we're tough guys. And you know, for us to try to be a bride, why, that just doesn't seem very logical. At least it wouldn't to some people. But in heavens, there'll be no brides in the sense that you get married up there. And there'll be no female, there'll be no male. And we will all be there in heaven with our husband, with our Savior, with our Lord, with our God. Some of us will live in a great city called the New Jerusalem. And the actual, as I've said many times, the actual one side of it, and I think it's a pyramid. Some believe it's a square, and that's fine. That's no problem. Either way it works. One side of it, there's four sides to it, like on the base of a pyramid, and also like on the base of a square. And one side of it, they're all sides are equal. And one side of it, just one side, if you put Los Angeles right over there at the door, and you put Memphis, Tennessee right over there, one side is all the way from Los Angeles to Memphis, Tennessee. It will be three-fifths the size of the United States. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that's not real. That's what reality is. And that's what real. This is a temporary place where we live. We've still got a millennial reign to go through, and there's a millennial kingdom there that's going to be much larger than the city of Jerusalem is now. It's going to extend all the way across the Jordan. It's going to go as far north up to where Shiloh used to be. It's a huge city. It has a wall around it. And some people are going to live in that city with the Lord. Some people are going to live outside it. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, what about these people outside it? Well, you won't like this, but I've taught it for years. Some of them will have been whoremongers. You say, oh, that can't be. That can't be. If a man gets saved, and later on he becomes a whoremonger, God doesn't take his salvation back, but he lives outside that city. Now, that's the way it is. And if a man becomes an idolater, you say, well, that'll send him to hell. How can I stand up here and preach security to the believer and tell you that once a man comes or a woman comes to Christ and asks him for salvation, how can I tell you that afterwards God yanks it back because of his character? You say, well, those people will be outside the city. And he said, will they be able to come in? No. Well, will the people in the city that are in what's known as the bride, will they be able to go in and out? Yes. Well, how do you know they go out? They are the leaves that go out of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and they go out to the people who are outside of the gate, and they teach them outside the gate. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. I'm just telling you that it pays to serve Christ after you're saved. Every person that gets saved has an inheritance waiting for them in heaven. Now, God knows how much of an inheritance it is, and God knows whether or not they'll get all of it. But some of them won't get the same inheritance as others. And I think that this inheritance is something that has to do with how much you get to do for the Lord. I think it will be in proportion to how much of your life you surrendered to him while you were here. And you're here right now this morning in this church, and this church teaches the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. You say, well, what if you discover you're wrong? We admit it, and we repent, and we try to be like the Berean church. We search the scriptures daily, and if we find anything that we believe is wrong, we'll admit it, and we'll change it and go on. Now, I'm going to talk about the bride. I wasn't born in the days of Abraham, so you won't find me talking about anything having to do with Abraham and the Old Testament. I do have a definite belief about that, but what I want to concentrate on is right here. I wasn't born in Hebron. I didn't come to life in the Old Testament. I never lived back there. But I can tell you a lot about it, just like Leonard. He was telling you an awful lot about it this morning in the Sunday school lesson. And the more you know about the Old Testament and about what happened to those people back there, the more you come to understand we're no different. And we do the same things they did, and we make the same mistakes. And God put that in there. And Leonard's Sunday school lesson this morning made it very clear that be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so as far as the Old Testament is concerned, I want to concentrate just on the bride from the New Testament church. And that's where you're going to get it from, because the Lord taught us in parables. And he also taught us in plain, straightforward language. And if you want to be in the bride of Christ and live in that city, you have a certain obligation as someone who has been espoused to Jesus Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3, before I read that, believers need to desire the great city of God's kingdom. I tell you how you can tell about somebody's spiritual growth. If they have a great desire to live in that city. A lost man, he wouldn't even know what you were talking about. If you have a great desire to live in that holy city, and it means something to you, and if you want your children and your wife and yourself and your friends and those you know to live in that heavenly city, then you've got to understand that this is a teaching not about sex per se, but it's a teaching about being a good espoused person toward the Son of God, who is God himself incarnate, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. How close a relationship do you want to have with him? I know most of you, and I know all about you. And that's one thing about this church that I thank God for. I know you love your wife. I know your wife loves you. And this is that kind of a church. People love their wives, and the wives love the husbands. And so when I talk about the bride, every one of you can relate to this. I don't know one of you sitting out there that doesn't love your husband. I don't know one of you sitting out there that doesn't love your wife. You say, well, I never heard of a church like that. This is a church like that. And Brother Don over here, Brother Don, is his wife passed away. My wife passed away last June. But my wife is up in heaven working for the Lord right now. She's not sitting around up there, and she's enjoying it. She's having the time of her life. I'm sure he'll give her a lot to do in heaven because as a reward, because she had to put up with me for all those years. And I'm not joking. And God used her to change me because I saw Christ in her, and I could see that I needed more of what she had than I had. And so over the years, I had her for 58 years. I'm not sad. I feel melancholy sometimes. But she's working for God in heaven. What am I doing? I'm working for God right here, right now. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm a God-called preacher, and this is what I do. And I'm called to pastor a church, and this is the church. So we're living in a situation now where we're espoused. Now, what happened to an espoused person? Well, someone that was espoused to someone else, they would make the arrangements through the father, and they would make the arrangements through the family, and she would be espoused until he could provide a bridal payment for her, and he could build her a house and a place to live. So afterwards, he would go. He would build her a place to live. Sometimes he might have to work 2 years to do it. But anyway, she was supposed to remain faithful while she waited for him. You wouldn't have any trouble waiting for Kenneth, would you, Donna? Sometimes I get very serious. You wouldn't have any trouble waiting for Anna wouldn't have any trouble waiting for you. She loves you. I could say that to every one of you here. And that's the truth. And that's the way marriages are. And so there is a relationship that you have that the Lord says, now I'm going to talk to you not like you were a male or female, but do you want to have a relationship with me that doesn't include sexual activity, but includes love and learning and being with me and listening to what I have to say? My answer is yes, 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 yes. Now he says, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. God really cares, and he really wants you to be faithful to him. And that's why God died for the church. That's why he gave his life for it. It's a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers. There is a family of God that consists of all believers. You might want to call it universal. I don't mind that. But the church is not universal. The church is local and visible. And the church is espoused to one husband. And that one husband is Jesus, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Leonard talked at length about don't be unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked in your marriage. Don't be unequally yoked with the Lord. You're a spouse to the Lord if you're a member of this church. And you have an obligation to be faithful until he comes. Well, many people have died in faith. And when he comes, they're coming back with him to get their glorified bodies that are resurrected from the grave. This is not a far-off event. I can prove that to you. It's true. So if there ever was a time that you should decide, I'm going to be faithful with my wife and my family, it should be now. He says, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. My wife was a chaste virgin, and you have no idea how happy I was the first time I kissed her, which was a long time, when she didn't know how to kiss. It was like kissing my mother, and I was delighted because I knew she hadn't had a lot of experience. And quite frankly, I hadn't had a lot of experience either, and we had to learn to kiss. We never learned to stick our tongues down our throats and do all that stuff, but we did learn to move our lips around and get excited when we kissed. A chaste virgin to Christ. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, and that word means villainous tricks. The devil is a lot smarter than you are, and he's a lot smarter than I am. The only one he's not smarter than, I don't think he's as smart as the Archangel Gabriel. I don't think he's as smart as the Archangel Michael. But I know that he's not smarter than God. And so if you don't learn to run to God when you feel tempted, you don't learn to run to him right quick and say, Lord, please get me through this. Lord, please help me. Lord, I don't want to do this. Help me, Lord. Help me. And learn to lean on him and let him do it. Then are you really waiting for him? I mean, does he really mean something to you? That's delivered me from a lot of temptation. You say, well, do you ever sin? Oh, yes. I'm an 82-year-old man, and I still have bad thoughts, and I'm still envious. I'm still jealous sometimes. You say, well, you should have lost all that. Oh, no, no. The only thing I can do is run to God and let him deliver me. And if I don't run to God, I have to go afterwards and ask God to forgive me. You say, well, how do you know he forgives you? I'm his child. And he understands. He doesn't like sin. He hates it. But if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when it talks about the devil and being worried about his subtlety, his villainous tricks, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. That God-breathed word means singleness. It means you got one husband. It means you got one person, your spouse, to. It's a single track, the simplicity that is in Christ. I love Jesus. When I first came up here, I didn't really know much about how to love Jesus. But after you preach and teach something to people for 40 years, you just know it's true. I mean, it's not just like you've been brainwashed, but you've learned what God has to say. And then you first thing you learn is he's got a whole lot more to say to me now. Yeah, I'm 82, but I got a lot to learn. And the truth of the matter is, the more I learn about him, the more I love him, the more I care for him, and the more I care for you personally. I didn't know how to love people when I came up here. I'm learning, still learning. But that's the purpose of church. That's why you come to church. That's why I'm preaching this. It's not my word. It's God's word on the paper. Believe what the paper says, whether you believe me or not. Now, in Ephesians 5, 32 through 33, we're going to go backwards in this chapter. And hopefully there will be some things in this great mystery that God has revealed to us in his word. He says, as he concludes the chapter, Ephesians 5, 32 through 33, he said, this is a great mystery. Well, now the New Testament church knows what the mystery is, and if the people will consider what is preached and taught about the bride, they'll discover that there's a new excitement in serving God because you've got a goal, you've got a dream, you've got an aspiration, and you've got a desire. Now, notice that big word, nevertheless. Well, in Koine Greek, it means exactly the same thing. He said, even though this is about Christ and the church, and even though you should interpret this as being about Christ and the church, nevertheless, even that's so. He said, that's so. That's the truth. He said, that's what this whole chapter is about. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. That's the big problem that men have. They don't spiritually understand their wife. If you love your wife as much as you love yourself, believe me, you'll love her. Because, brother, when I came up here, I loved myself more than I loved anybody on the whole planet. But before she died, I loved her more than I loved myself, at least sometimes. And God changed my life. And the wife, see that she reverenced her husband. Do you know who you're reverencing if you reverence your husband? You're reverencing Jesus Christ. Oh, your husband isn't Jesus Christ. You know that. Far from it. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you reverence your husband and are kind to him, when he unloads all his problems on you, when he loses his temper on you, and all husbands do, God forgive me. I came out of a situation where I thought I was a good Christian, but I was wrong because I was so much in love with myself. How could I ever fall in love with Jesus? And how could I ever fall in love with you? So, wives, I know all of you here. You got good husbands. You have. I know you. Well, you say, I don't think much of them. Well, the truth is, if you'll reverence them, I don't mean if they tell you to jump off a bridge or to commit some illicit sex act that you're supposed to do that. But just tell them no. If you get slapped, get over it. And after you get over it a few times, come see me and I'll tell you to divorce the sucker. You say, well, that's awful, Brother Michael Murray. No, it's not awful. A man like that doesn't deserve a wife. A man like that that beats up his wife, he does not deserve a wife. And a man who takes all of his frustrations out on her, thank God for women that stay with them long enough to where they finally wake up to the fact that God gave them that woman to teach them something, how to be a normal, everyday human being, but not somebody that had to be a male villain full of chauvinist ideas. He said, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." My wife was that kind of a woman. Donna Stockton, Don's wife, she was that kind of a woman. I don't see anybody here that's not that kind of a woman. I don't. You say, well, how did that happen? This is a teaching church. This is a church that teaches the Bible, looks up the words, takes time. The pastor wants to understand it himself. Everybody in this church that preaches the Bible here, they want to understand more of it. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to know more about themselves. As you learn more about Jesus, you'll learn a lot more about yourself. What you learn about Jesus, you'll fall in love with. What you'll learn about yourself, you'll say, oh, Lord, and forgive me. And then you'll start running to Jesus. But listen, I don't care what your past is, and I don't care what you are right now. If you ever came to Jesus and trusted him to save you and ask you, you're going to heaven, because that's security of the believer. And that's something that you lose in your mind when you lose your fellowship with God. When you quit worshiping God properly, when you quit coming to church, you start wondering, am I really saved? That's a way that God gets you back in church. Because if you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your fellowship and be absolutely miserable as a Christian. Some of those miserable people on this earth are not lost people. Some of them have a great life. They've got enough shrinks that they're happy. But you take a Christian, you take somebody that's been saved, and let him get out there and try to do the stuff that they're doing, he is absolutely miserable. He's trying to serve two masters at the same time, and if you want to be miserable, just go right ahead and do it. Now, in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. When God passed sentence on Adam and Eve, one of the things he told the woman was, and thy desire shall be, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Now, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Jesus will be kind and gracious and merciful and gentle with you, and he'll forgive you. He will correct you. The word's paideo. It's in the 11th chapter of Hebrews over and over again. And it means he raises you. He chastises you. He raises you. And he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife that she reverence her husband. In Genesis, he told her, he said, thy desire shall be toward their husband. Every one of you women sitting out here that are married, it means a lot to you when your husband tells you that really was good. But it hurts a woman when you say, boy, my mom could really make good cornbread, and she doesn't make good cornbread. You say, well, that'll get you in a lot of trouble. And her desire is to please you. You say, are you telling us to lie to her? Well, no, just use your head. And don't tell her your mother makes better cornbread. And you might say, later on sometime after the cornbread episode is over, you might say, I think my mom had a recipe for cornbread. It's pretty good. She'll try to get that recipe because she loves you. Ladies, I do understand you a lot. Because believe me, the first time I ever saw Imogene and I was going with her. Well, we were already married, actually. We were going down the street, and there was a woman going down the street. She had beautiful legs. You say, oh, men don't do that. Your husband does that. And sometimes he just goes step or two, you know, and gets into serious trouble. And I was so stupid as a young man. I said, boy, doesn't she have pretty legs? About 20 minutes later, she finished telling me everything that was wrong with her legs, her bodies, her chest, her hair, and everything else. So just don't do it. My wife had the ugliest legs I have ever seen in my life, but I never saw them until after we got married. She was a very intelligent woman. She wore these things down to her things and those red, black and white bobby socks. That was back during the jitterbug age. And I never saw her legs. But you know what? I wasn't disappointed. And I was happy she didn't know how to kiss. I was happy that she didn't seem to understand anything about men. And I was happy that she put up with me. And she was a good cook. Her mother taught her, so I never had as much to say, but I left my own mother out of it. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Don't look at other men. Don't compare your husband to other men. Compare your husband to the one you fell in love with. Learn to put up with him. Submit yourself to your own husband. If he beats you, if he beats you or does things like that, and he won't stop, if he won't come to counseling, you know what I'll tell him, Donna? Divorce that sucker. And that's exactly the truth. And there's nothing wrong with that. God didn't mean for a woman to be mutilated by a man. Now, some women can change men. And it can be done. And we have a lady in this church that I have great admiration for. She's one of the best wives I've ever known. I won't mention her name, but I'm sure most of you know who I'm referring to. As unto the Lord, submit yourself to your own. As unto the Lord, do it. Submit it. It's submission to the Lord. Do what he wants. But after a while, you don't have to put up with it. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. If you try to be what you should be as a wife to the man, let him take his frustrations out on you, but just be kind and gentle to him. He'll change. He'll change. And if he won't change, there's nothing much you can do. And he is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of a local New Testament church. It's a corporate body. Leonard refers to it as a little flock. That's exactly what it is. And it's a little flock that has not only been saved, scripturally baptized, and correctly observes the ordinances of the church. It is somebody that grows in faith and hope and love and learns more about Jesus and more about himself and sees more of the need for change in his own life. He says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, what's happening right now, right here? What did Leonard do in Sunday school class? Here's what he did. Here's what I'm doing now. That he might sanctify, hagiso, set apart, and cleanse it, wash it from, give it forgiveness of sins when you go and ask him to forgive you with a washing of water by the word. After you've heard what Leonard taught in Sunday school class, after you hear what this says, it's God's word, we stick strictly to that, then what you can do is say, okay, now I've learned a little bit more about myself. I've learned a little bit more about what God wants from me. I want to live in that city. I want to be a part of it. I want my children to live there. With the washing of water by the word. Why? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, ecclesia, local visible assembly. That's what it means. He says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. It's a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers who have carried out the two church ordinances and are growing in faith, hope, and love. And when a church grows in love, it's a pleasure to go there. And when it doesn't, it's a nightmare. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such things. You say, do you actually believe the moment you go in there and you ask the Lord to forgive you, that all of a sudden he completely cleanses you and he picks you up and away you go again? Jesus died for all my sins, past, present, and future. I am going to heaven. But when I get there, I am going to have to answer for the life that I lived in the flesh after I was saved. Doesn't mean I'm going to hell, but it does infect the amount of inheritance I get. And it's very simple. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He says, are any such thing, but that it should be holy, hagiso, set apart, and without blemish. I'm clean as far as going to heaven is concerned. As far as going to heaven is concerned, God will never send me to hell. I have been removed from the condemnation of God. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Now, I am a member of this church. I fulfill an office. I am not above anybody in this church. And nobody in this church is above me. The office is above some. And we have a deacon, I think the best one in the state. And he holds an office, but he is not any holier than you are. And he is not any more beloved than you are. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. See this little dimple up here? Boy, that means a lot to me. You say, you're 82 years old. Are you out of your mind? See how smooth my complexion is? You say, you're 82 years old. You're out of your mind. Yeah, I'm carnal. I'm sold after sin, you know? And I put that little dent up there. Why on earth do I put that little dent up there? I think it makes me look more attractive. You say, good Lord, preacher, you're the vainest person I ever met. No. We held a vote the other day, and Kenneth Eubanks is vainer than I am. He won. Leonard was second, and I was third. And our deacon, we don't trust him. He really does appear to be genuine. And we put on a good front. But I think his wife's the one that keeps him in line. He says, for no man ever hated his own flesh and nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Listen, nobody ever loved a flock more than Jesus. No one ever will have a flock in heaven like Jesus has, because they love him to death. And they love coming down here, and they love to learn more about him. And the husband learns to treat the wife with respect and love, and she in return, it fulfills her desire, and it makes her a better wife, a much better wife. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Good grief! For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Jesus, when there was a big crowd around him, a huge multitude, his mother and his brothers had come down, and some expositors say, and I think they're probably right, that they were trying to get him to come home before he got killed. In any case, he was way back there, and some guy worked his way through and said, thy mother and thy father are out there. They want you to come and talk to them, or they're out there wanting to see you. And they couldn't get at him for the press. And Jesus said to this man, and he said to all that could hear it, the disciples were the inner circle. They were there. He said, who is my father and my mother and my sister and my brother? And as he did, it was the disciples. He was pointing. He said, these are my disciples. He said, these are my mother, my sister, my father, and my brother. Jesus is my brother. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my King. And I am espoused to him. And I want to stay espoused to him. And I want to be faithful, because I don't want to live outside the city. You say, is it just because Jesus is in there? No, I know my wife's in there. You say, well, do you love Jesus more than you loved your wife? Yeah. Did she love Jesus more than she loved you? Yes. We both did. And now, I want to be in there where she is. I know she's going to be in there. I knew the woman like no other person, and she was every bit of the praise that you gave her, because it was Christ in her. And so, I've got a double reason for wanting to live in that city, but Jesus is the reason. He says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. That's what we are, a local visible body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Now let's go way up above it. I'm just going to read this. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. That's not talking to lost people. You say, well, when they're born again, they wake up from the dead. Well, that's going to be a while. But Paul was crucified with Christ, so I wouldn't argue too much with that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people that are saved, probably church members. And he says, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If you think you've got all the light that God wants you to have the moment you get saved, you have, but somebody has to energize that light, and somebody has to push the button that causes the what the Bible uses as the word means energy, to come forth. And if you won't listen to what God has to say out of his word, you're going to be the dimmest light in heaven. Christ shall give thee light. And you're going to be outside the gate. I'm sorry, but you're going to be outside the gate. See then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, like the ones in Hebrews 11, where they were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We got a big cloud of witnesses. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You don't have much time to redeem. You say, you don't know that. Listen, I've been studying prophecy all these years, and I know it's not far off. So make the best of the time you have now. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You need to resist evil and be faithful in attending God's local, visible, scriptural church. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't you think it's God's will for you to be here this morning? It is. And be not drunk with wine where it is excess. If you drank a lot of red wine, you'd be full of the Spirit, all right, but the wrong Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. That's what this word is. That's what fills you. That's the word of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart in the Lord. You want to know why I sing so loud? It's not to draw attention to myself. Never. It is because I want to show that I love singing praises to God. I sing them so you can hear them, but I sing them to God because he's taught me a lot about him. The time I've been here, he's taught me a lot about myself, and I want him. You say, well, he'd hear it if you sang it softly. I know that, but one of the reasons Kenneth is such a good preacher, he gets so excited about this, and so do I. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every night I thank God for taking Imogene home ahead of me, because I wouldn't want her to go through what I go through every day. I wouldn't want that. But every day God just immediately tells me, Tom, she's fine. I don't hear a little voice, but she's working for me here, and you just work for me down there till I call you home. And so it's all over then. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what a local church is. We submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God, respect of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as the Lord. I'm going to go fast, but I want to at least read this. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, plural. This is one of his churches. Not all churches belong to the Lord. There are a lot of saved people in a lot of different churches, but the truth is they have forsaken this teaching. It didn't used to be that way. A lot of them used to teach this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's what you're doing right now. You say, no, that's for lost people. No, it's not. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? That is, in the Greek language, that means to keep on coming. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are built up a spiritual house. That's what a local church is. Ye also are built up a spiritual house to offer up sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our purpose. You need to have that purpose in your life. And that's what you need to do. And if you're not doing that, then think about it. Now, you may never come to the point where you really desire this, where you really want to hear it. But it's something that you need to hear and you need to think about. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a mighty multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Man, he is all powerful and he is everywhere. He knows everything you do, and the angels know what you do. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, There's a marriage that's coming in heaven between the one who is espoused and the one who will be married there at that time in the holy city. And his wife hath made herself ready. How in the world did she do that? Well, it must have been through works. Baloney. Jesus said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And God works in you. And God works in me. God works in every one of you. And you know what he wants you to do. And it's God that makes you that way. You do the yielding, but God does the changing. You don't have the power to change yourself, but Christ in you does. And now we're getting back to a husband and wife. A wife yields to her husband. Fellas, we may be masculine, but the truth of the matter is, we're just as accountable to yield ourselves to God as our wives are. And we're supposed to be good husbands. We're supposed to sound an example to her. And the wife is supposed to respect us when we do and when they show love toward us. But husbands, you need to grow up. Some women raise us like kids. And we're supposed to be the example to them. And I'm not trying to glorify women. I'm trying to glorify the Lord, because women have a harder role to play than you do. If you had to put up with all the things women had to put up with, you'd be amazed how inferior you are. And the truth of the matter is that God chose, I'm not sure of this, I think God may have chose the man because the man knew what he was doing, and Eve was deceived. But she sinned, and they both sinned. But I think man has a lot to make up for than the woman. And I tell you, there's nothing that is more enjoyable than 58 years of marriage to a woman like I had that God gave me, because he knew I was the hardest-headed man, so self-centered. I was saved, but the Lord knows, man, I couldn't have pastored or done anything if he hadn't given me Imogene. And God knows what he does. God knew what he did when he gave you the woman she has, that you have. You need to appreciate her. She needs to please you, and you need to let her please you. Because you have no idea how much it pleases her when you show love for her. I've learned. I wish I had learned sooner. He says, "And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Listen, it's a blessing. There's no greater blessing you can have in life, because that's where the inheritance is. The inheritance is not a bunch of stuff piled up in a stockpile. The inheritance is being where he is and listening to him forever. And being there where he is, inside the walls of the city. And he saith, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation 2, 26, 29. All right, remember about this bride. And remember back up here, he says, "I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Now think about this. Take this home with you. He says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end," endurance, hypomene, patience, sometimes translated endurance, "to him will I give power over the nations outside the wall." We will be leaves that go outside. And we will talk to the people out there. And we will fellowship with the people out there. And they won't be jealous. They won't be envious. They will be so happy to see us come out there. We are the leaves that go out of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Our job is going to be work for God in the millennial reign. We're coming back with him. God's going to give us a job to do. They'll see us. I think they'll see us when we come back, but I think the only one they're going to get to see very much of is Jesus. "And I will give him the morning star." Who is this morning star? He said, "I am the offspring of David and the bright of morning star, and I will give him the morning star." Friend, that's a marriage. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Plural. All of them were scriptural at that time. Revelation 3, 3 through 4. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Folks, we're talking about eternity here. We're not talking about this temporal life. I'm not going to live long. Lord have mercy, a man lives is 82, thinks he's going to live a long time, out of his mind. In any case, the truth is, we've got a lot to do. Stands of invitation. And then will this be? So as day comes,